Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, we bring you on an expedition through the depths of the movie industry to discuss the amazing, terrible, and amazingly terrible movies based on video games. Our hosts' entire lives are dedicated to a single goal, probably answering the age-old question, do games make good movies?
Kikolkin! That's for all of you Street Fighter fans out there. Yeah. Welcome to Video Game Movie Anatomy. Today, in celebration of the upcoming release of Street Fighter V for all main consoles, we're going to be talking about a much worse product from the folks at Capcom, yep. Which is Street Fighter The Legend of Chun-Li. I am one of your hosts, the Internet's Mark B. Donica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica, and joining me, we have our wonderful cast of characters, much like most Street Fighter games.
This is basically a fighting game, yeah. I feel like, yeah, for sure. Hopefully What's your special move?
My special
yes.
move?
Yes.
Yeah. Crying.
Yeah, okay.
Projectile tears.
Uncontrollably tears. Around this movie.
It's like the Binding of Isaac.
Yes.
Go ahead and tell the folks at home. Miss Stacey Shuttleworth.
All right, I'm Stacey Shuttleworth. You can find me at Ye Old Nerd on Twitter, talking about all sorts of literary and TV things, or at Nerds Doing Stuff, where I'm a nerd doing stuff.
Look at that.
Yeah.
I'm Patrick Dees. You can find me on Twitter at P to the Dees. I'm starting a support group. If you've seen this movie, reach out. Let me know. We'll talk through it. We'll get through this together, Internet.
I'm officially joining.
Yeah, would you please? All right, okay. Done.
Yeah,
done.
Starting today.
Yeah, this is our first official meeting.
See, now, without saying, I'm a bit of a Street Fighter fan.
True story.
When we talked about it on the previous film,
right.
The original, the classic, in name only, we actually found some positive stuff about it.
You did.
No,
I'm just saying you did. That was not a question. That was not a question. You did.
And yes.
Managed.
Which was impressive.
You would figure giving it time, letting the story develop into what it has.
Pretty good size budget. Yeah.
$50 million.
I know.
For a low budget action movie taking place in China. $50 million ain't that bad. This movie. So, first of all, let's get
strong.
This going. Welcome to Video Game Movie Anatomy. Here we dissect the film adaptations of some of our favorite interactive media, like the Street Fighter franchise, like Need for Speed, like Mortal Kombat, like Phoenix Wright. That one was fun.
Okay.
That was a good one.
Okay.
So we're gonna run through some of our favorite. Sorry, I couldn't say that with a straight face. Some of our favorite moments from the film.
We're going to run through some moments.
We're going to run through some moments from the film. But we're going to get started with our speed run. And our speed run is what you would see. You're shopping at the GameStop, at the Target. You look at a video game and you look on the back and it gives you a little bit of a box quote.
Yeah.
So, for example, Mortal Kombat has a cheesy script but nails the spirit of the game. Or Need for Speed is a mindless action movie that doesn't make you feel bad for the people who are mindless. Quick example.
That one gets better every time you read it. It gets it. I get excited. Yeah.
The movie, though, does not. So, for speed runs, who wants to go first?
Stacey, I'm going to have you go first.
Mine is definitely not something that you're going to put on the back of the DVD to try to sell to people.
Spoiler alert. Neither is mine. Neither is mine.
Honesty is the best policy.
I'll get mine out of the way. So normally, I come in and I prepare. I get a little long-winded. Mine's pretty straightforward. So, Street Fighter The Legend of Chun-Li is the film adaptation of Street Fighter, of the Street Fighter IP, Capcom Street Fighter IP. It is a cinematic abortion. It's not worth your time or anybody else's.
I like it.
Yeah.
Straight to the point.
Don't watch. Do not. Yeah. That's not going on the back of the box.
That should be on the box.
It should be, right?
Like, it should be. It won't be.
But it might as well have been. I was telling you guys off mic, but I went and I paid real world money for this, and I know.
Dude, you can rent stuff on iTunes.
I know. I mean, well, I rented it.
Okay.
Yeah. So $4. Well, but my point is, so like, I wasn't upset even about the spend. I wanted my 2 hours back or 95 minutes,
that
I'll
minutes.
Never yes. get back.
Nope.
And I love the thing. Like, I even almost called you guys because it does a thing now on the Apple TV where it says, hey. It's got a 6% on Rotten Tomatoes. Like, I went in knowing what I was signing up for, and even then I was ill-equipped. So,
you excited?
Yeah, real good, real
it's
good.
Like looking at it.
I think 6 is generous, but I'm really anxious to hear your speed run. So what do you got?
All right, so The Legend of Chun-Li takes a bunch of names from a popular video game series on a vague, poorly thought-out slog so bad that it makes you actually wish you were dead inside, and doesn't even manage to include the title character Chun-Li's iconic outfit. 0 out of 5 stars.
I mean, they kind of did.
Okay, that really they tried. Doesn't count.
The club scene
count.
In Insomnia?
Yeah.
I mean...
at the 1990s techno club?
Dude.
Whatever.
Just, I will get there,
they pretended
sure.
to try.
What was the dead inside part? That's real good.
It makes you wish that you were dead inside.
That's real good.
Yeah.
I give that speedrun 5 out of 5 stars.
Yeah.
That was better than the whole movie. This is I'm already feeling better.
See, that's why we get a chance to talk about it like
God,
this,
I'm so
and
glad.
It's going to be much better.
I'm so glad we're putting this together.
Street Fighter The Legend of Chun-Li is a Street Fighter-themed story in name only. If you're a fan of the game, you would be much better buying every single copy again to help support the franchise. Instead of watching this.
Totally. Or how many headbands do you own?
I own 3.
You own 3?
Yeah.
Not 1.
No, 3.
Not 2.
3. No, I got 3 headbands. I got 1, got a little dusty, got this one from Loot Crate.
I like
you.
It.
And then I also got one signed at an event by Yoshinori Ono, who is the producer of the whole Street Fighter franchise. So that alone...
A better spend is my
much
point.
Much better spend.
And you're killing it.
And
it's a good
them,
look for you.
And all of them were free.
Okay.
So right. there is that. Yeah,
for sure.
Much better
They didn't
spend.
Take up 95 yeah. minutes no. of your life. Fair
much
enough.
Much better spend.
Also I'm Chun-Li, an officer of Interpol.
Thank you. All right. Okay. Oh, we got a little bit of a soundboard going.
Beautiful.
She truly is.
She is.
we'll get
so
there.
So excited. I thought Chun-Li was listening to us shit talk her movie. I was very concerned. But I was like, look,
Cutting
we need
in.
To have an intervention.
Yeah.
She's like...
She's going to defend this
I mean,
movie.
I don't
she's
think
trying
she has
to defend
to
herself.
Say. She's not.
No,
so from here, we go to our controller toss moment. The controller toss moment is when you're playing a game or watching the film, and you suddenly have the you've got to be kidding me moment. And you chuck your controller across the room. I've got several. I had to limit my list.
Could you lead us to start us off? I feel like if you've got a few of them, don't... Yeah.
So it's going to come up several times in our discussion.
I know it will.
There is a... I was going to say wonderful. There is a character...
Okay.
...by the name of Nash, played by Chris Klein.
Oh, yeah.
Nash.
Every single time he was on the screen, I was like, you've got to be kidding me!
Yep. I think this is the worst performance in a major motion picture that I have ever seen. And, it's so bad, I don't know how it wasn't on my radar before. Like, you know when something's this transcendently terrible, people go, you know what you gotta see? You have to see. Like, it wasn't even that. I think people are just like, just don't.
It was
you should
bad.
Give up already.
People didn't want to talk about it. Like, no one wants to talk about
it's
it.
It's so, it's incredible. Mm. It's to the point where I think there's two different movies. There's a movie that everybody else is in, and then there's a movie that Chris Klein thinks he's in. And it's a whole different thing, Mark.
It's like we're doing
really
a thing
is.
For College Humor, right?
Totally.
It's like,
I don't know. He's like, we'll fix it in post. I don't, like, what?
And trust me, we'll talk about it more throughout, but I can't wait till we get to our favorite lines.
Perfect. Okay.
So, but yeah, Nash was one of mine. There's one, as a fan of the games, it's really easy, but they done goofed it.
Okay.
So, M. Bison, or Vega, as he's known in the Japanese game, or Dictator, as he's known on the fighting game circuit, I know too much. They switched him up because they didn't want to get sued over Mike Bison.
So Balrog, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
So
mm-hmm.
so now Mike Bison is known as Balrog,
right.
and Vega is known as, et cetera,
gotcha.
Et cetera.
Right.
So he runs an evil organization called Shadaloo.
He does.
Shadaloo.
Shadaloo.
S-H-A-D-A-L-O-O. That's how it was damn spelt
yep.
in the damn movie. There's a little thing that said Shadaloo headquarters.
Yep.
Welcome, Shadaloo boardman. No, that's not, you spelled it different. That's not how it's spelled.
No. No. But, you know, like, here's my favorite thing about Shadaloo is that it's highly Googleable, right? Like, it's this, like, network of, like this covert, like, she literally types in some, like, poor man's Google at, like, a library computer and straight up Bison's picture pops up. Like,
less than
this
two
is
minutes.
Your shadow organization,
two,
right?
2 minutes of research.
That was all of the sleuthing you did? Totally.
And this comes after Nash's line of, he's a guy who can walk through the raindrops.
Yes!
Oh, yeah. He's everywhere. He's on the internet.
Dude, yeah.
Jeez.
If you can find him on a 2009 computer in the middle of Bangkok.
Yeah.
Just at in public.
Just www.webcrawler.
And Nash's like, we can't find this guy.
Just, he's everywhere, but nowhere.
Is it possible? So that.
Beautiful.
And my last thing is, so they're, Gen is telling Chun-Li about, Bison's backstory.
Yeah.
And we see him as a baby, as an infant.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And the baby that they close up on. So this
I
is... So
I can't.
In this film, Bison is played by Neil McDonough, who goes for an Irish, for some reason. He's the child of Irish missionaries.
Correct.
Yes. I believe is what they said.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so when they close up on baby Bison, it's an Asian baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Beautiful.
I mean, it is a beautiful child.
It's truly beautiful.
But like Chun-Li, he grows out of his Asian. Like, he had an Asian phase as a child. Because we see young Chun-Li. And she just went through an Asian phase because she grows up and then she's not. I felt the same way. It's just that's how this movie goes.
It's
a phase.
So those are the three that I boiled it down to.
Pretty good.
What do you guys have?
You know what? I was honestly pretty done as soon as the very first fight scene when her dad sets his hand on fire.
I'm
and then
sorry.
Immediately sets the chain
Get
on fire.
Out of this room.
That was great.
That was the best part of the whole movie.
That first fight was probably the best fight.
That was the best part of the whole movie.
That was the oh god, this is what I'm in for.
But it wasn't even the cork pop of the bottom of
Dude,
the wine
no,
bottle.
It wasn't that.
That was
it
dope.
That was really
that. Cool.
That
real
was
good. Are you kidding me? Like, what badass lights his own hand on fire and then catches somebody? I was like, this is like.
Well, but how do you catch that chain on fire?
It was amazing.
It shouldn't have caught on fire. This is my argument. It
fair
shouldn't
point,
have caught on fire.
But at this point, we were looking for anything. And this was the beginning of the movie.
Well, right. Yes. So that was the first, like, oh no. Oh my.
And no, that was the first. Maybe there's something to
it. I agree.
Maybe somebody
totally.
Was lying to me.
Balrog shows up, busting skulls, and like, we get this dude?
It was completely opposite for me.
So can we also say, it's like super her fault dad got caught.
Dad would have won that,
but
for sure.
Stupid baby Chun-Li walked in,
little
messing
girl,
everything up as
everything.
Per usual.
Yep.
Gets her dad caught, and then like, straight up forgets it immediately, like, I'm going to go play piano.
All right, bye.
Right, you know, later, dad.
Makes me feel better.
Okay.
Once I get over this dad thing, maybe I can finally get a concert pianist thing going.
I just feel like this movie just wore me down and wore me down until nothing was too absurd. I was just like, well, why not? All right, that's cool. Like,
fireball.
Things just kept
cool.
happening. Okay, sure.
I super loved that. And then
you know what? It still found a way to become even more unbelievable.
Oh, yeah?
Once I had hit that, like, nice nirvana of, I can
you're
accept
settling
that.
In, zen. You're like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I had this zen for about 2 minutes, and then, so my biggest controller toss was probably when all of a sudden Nash again pops up, and then Chun-Li pops up in front of him and is like, I need your help. Like, they're all buddies.
Oh, yeah, they're really quick
scene. Totally, yep.
And I'm like, hold on. I paused for a good 5 minutes trying to figure out what had happened and what I missed.
So he's pouring himself a glass of third-rate whiskey. It might have been Johnny Rocker. Whatever. And that we have no establishment for whatsoever. It's just him pouring whiskey.
Yep.
And
why is he
out
there?
Of surprise, he just totally drops it.
Like, it's amazing. He
I'm
just
gonna
like,
need backup.
Just like, dry, yeah. I can't believe you paused it. You're like, wait a minute.
I was like, did I miss something? Did I miss the scene where they connected before? Like,
you're
what
such a good
is
you did
happening?
Actually. Because there is, I don't know why anybody would remove anything from this film, but there was a deleted scene.
I figured that was the case, and that's why it seems so disjointed.
I'm sorry.
With Nash and Chun-Li.
Yes. I figured that was what was happening, but it wasn't in the actual movie. So it was very
How
confusing.
Bad do the scenes have to be deleted from this movie?
Well, it,
how
we,
bad?
We lost out on Nash.
Oh.
How is that a
yeah.
bad thing? You know what? Now that you mention it. For those just joining us, I don't know why I haven't put this higher on the breakdown because I'm a fool. Essentially, the plot of this movie, when Chun-Li is a teenager, Chun-Li, as a child, witnesses the kidnapping of her father by a wealthy crime lord, M. Bison. When she grows up, she goes into a quest for vengeance and becomes the famous crime fighter of the Street Fighter universe.
Does she? Or does she get a scroll? We'll talk about that. I know. Mm-hmm. Just
honestly, I had thought that you couldn't get any more vague than the movie itself until I read that little blurb. I'm like, oh, you can't get
But it's kind of not even true. Like, this whole thing is just a train wreck. And, like, it marvels me because this wasn't made in a vacuum. Like, hundreds of people had to check off on this and film it and, like, edit it and, like, finance it. Like, yeah. I don't understand how this got made.
Who put their money into this?
Totally.
Capcom. You know what? I can understand. So,
There was a vacuum left by the Tomb Raider movies.
Sure.
Which did well.
Yep.
They made, the second one may not have commercially or been like, why can't I bring... It didn't do well with the critics, but it made enough money. So Capcom could see this and go, well, we got to develop a strong female character movie action star.
Oh, do you think
that's
that,
what people are looking for?
You think that was the impetus, right?
I'm sure.
Okay.
Because
okay.
And here's right. a film franchise that everybody loves. They were gearing up. They used the same logo as when they started bringing everything back up for an anniversary that was around the time. And Street Fighter 4 was coming out within like a year or two.
All right.
So they were trying to like jumpstart the brand multimedia.
Transmedia property.
Transmedia property.
Stop it.
I tried to not say
I know.
It,
no, no, I was just going to do it.
Look at there. Look at there.
You know that thing you didn't want to say?
I got and they got star power. They got star power.
No, totally.
That, like, these are all names that you look at and you go,
all right.
There's no reason why these people should make a bad movie.
Totally.
Also, Taboo is in it.
Also, Taboo.
From the Black Eyed Peas. And yet,
I can't.
Here we are talking about it 6 years later. Actually, almost to the day. February 27th was when
is
this
that right?
came out.
Coming up. Mm-hmm.
So we're coming up on the anniversary, everybody. On the 7th year anniversary.
I'm going to tweet at you guys. Happy Chandler-Lee-iversary.
Let's tweet Kristen Kruk, Chris Klein, Neil McDonough, Robin Shue, and
Beautiful.
Taboo.
I just remind them.
And find Michael Clark Duncan and say, sorry, buddy.
Do you think they'll give me the hours back?
Find Michael just Clark. Like,
It'll
sorry, Michael. Michael Clark Duncan,
meeting.
Rest your soul.
Yeah.
You poor. Okay, so while we're talking about the cast, let's bring up our star, Kristen Kruk,
yep.
Our half Chinese, half Dutch,
sure.
Chun-Li, who at the time wasn't doing anything super huge.
Smallville, right?
She was coming. Right. Smallville was over for a while.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay.
But this seemed like a perfect star vehicle for her. And for most, we're looking at a comparison for our audio listeners. Make sure to check out our YouTube stream, because I pulled photos from Street Fighter V of the characters.
Okay.
So these are up to date, even though that's not what they cast for.
Sure.
I can see it. I can look at Kristen Kruk and I can go, you know what? We got a star here. We got a star here. This can be fun. She has some training.
Yeah.
Actually, she is a pianist. So the whole classical pianist thing totally worked out.
I mean, and was super necessary too. We needed that B plot. Like
you needed something from her to pull from.
Oh my god!
But the piano never came back into play.
Nothing comes back into play. Not Bison's original plot. Not Vega's. Like, oh, you think this is the end? Yeah, I sure as shit do. It's the end. You're hanging upside down. Like nothing comes back except the fireball.
Except the fireball.
A single payoff.
So what do you guys think of Kristen Kruk as a casting choice for Chun-Li?
I thought she was all right. Like, what felt like was missing for me was, I think she was fine as Chun-Li and could have been fine. I told you about the weird disconnect about, like, a super Asian child that grows up to be half Asian.
Right.
And even then it's a stretch. I think she was fine as Chun-Li. I mean, fine. But there was a missing of a physicality. I didn't buy once that she knew how to throw a punch.
Right.
One of the things about, first of all, Chun-Li is all about legs.
True.
She is.
Yeah. I know, yeah.
And one of the things she's known for as a fighter is her gigantic thighs. Because she has such strong kicks.
Totally.
And you cast a smaller girl in that, that's not going to come across.
Right.
That was a miss from the get-go. Like, and you can be small. Like, we talk a lot about, like, really tough women on this show, right? Like, I think every week when we talk about Mia Jovovich or somebody, right, who I believe could beat the shit out of most people that she fights.
Yes.
I don't buy that here.
Perfectly.
True.
So, that was my issue. Although, mad props to the spinning star kick in the club.
That was a high point.
Had to be, like.
It was beautiful.
All right.
It was good.
I would have broken several controllers. That mom was like, what are we doing?
Yeah. I thought, you know what? Looking at pictures of her, I can see her as Chun-Li more so than I actually saw her as Chun-Li in the movie.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah. That is interesting.
I don't really think that... I guess this is a costume design thing. I don't think they really captured that. They just kind of kept throwing her in blue. And I was like, look, this is Chun-Li. And I can appreciate that, I guess. But I don't quite think they still got it across.
The one thing that I will say is they gave her the white boots that are kind of poking into frame.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they made sure to have as many, like, full-body shots as she was, like, trying to figure out the city.
Totally.
To be like, look, no, those
no,
are
no, no, but yeah, yeah, I know, look, I know, totally.
She's almost there. She's working on it. It was a good choice. Most of this was good choice with a bad script. You do what you can with the part. But then we go to Chris Klein's portrayal as Charlie Nash.
Yeah.
Charlie in the States, Nash in Japan, and I made sure to pick the best picture.
Oh, that's good.
That's beautiful.
Both of those, for audio listeners, you're really missing out here, because
That's the thing.
That is quality.
Charlie, just because that's how I knew him, Charlie is an ex-Marine that worked with Guile and ended up joining Interpol.
Mm-hmm.
So he and inversely ended up becoming captured by Bison, et cetera, whatever. So even just going, he's a Marine. No, let's take that away and make him a crappy beat cop that works for Interpol. That doesn't make sense to me writing a movie.
That was a weird change.
And the choice of Nash over Guile, presumably to get the taste of Jean-Claude Van Damme out of everybody's
Do you think that's what it was? Because that was such a weird choice. Like, Guile's so recognizable, right? Like, he's iconic. We got away from Ken and Ryu. We don't have a Guile in this movie. Like, for me, that was a little weird. Like, all right, we're going to go with Nash, who's, you know, I mean, known, but certainly not, like, instantly recognizable as one of the – I could have used some Dalsam.
I could have used some Dalsam, too.
I know.
That would have been fun.
I agree.
But a bizarre, we've already talked about it, and we're going to keep talking about it, a bizarre performance that the only reason he was in this movie was at the end where you had a reason for soldiers to be there.
Oh, all right.
That's really, the cop from China, whose name I totally forget, she comes in saying, we're all from this neighborhood anyway.
No, she's not. Have you seen the people in the neighborhood? They have all these establishing shots of these poor, emaciated, like, nobody looks like you on the streets.
Nobody looks perfect.
You are not, right? Like, I'm just, like, that line was just so bad. Mm. I'm just from around here. And she's like, no, you're not.
You are absolutely not.
Yeah.
No.
I know. Nash has no reason to be in this movie other than to give Chris Klein a paycheck.
I will say, he crushes it when he says, Nash out.
Oh.
If I had to say one more time, like,
Nash out.
It's pretty good.
Takes off,
It's pretty good.
It was.
And for, oh my God. So let alone, for a character.
I just want to talk about Nash the rest of my life.
I don't know if you do.
I kind of do, because, like, I mean it. Like, I was half. Because, you know, I get on the show and I get really negative about everything, but, like, he really was my favorite part. Like, unironically, my favorite part about this movie, because it is not redeemable in any sense. But he's so – I meant what I said when I said there's, like, two movies going on, because I feel like they're, like, I don't know, kind of do a Christian Slater and, like, squint a lot and get, like, what is he – I don't understand the direction or any of that dude's choices at all. From line one, right? He gets out of that car and there's that Euro trash, like, house music pumping. He gets out, like, he's greasy and shit, and he's, like, you know, scoping out the other cop, and he's like,
I love my job.
Totally. Like, immediately, you're like, what are you doing? So gross. Sexually harasses her in the car later. Like, can happen. That's just okay now? You just make out with some woman? It's like,
and they just go on.
They just kept going. Like, not even, like, over shoulder. And that never came back into play.
Nope.
Because you
never
saw them follow the town car.
No.
And you never saw Chun-Li follow the taxi.
Not at all.
That, like, scene had no purpose.
Most of the movie didn't. It starts a bunch of shit that doesn't finish. Like, even the whole plot about him buying the slums, which is complete and utter garbage. Like,
it
is a dumpster fire, right? Like, because they say Bison's going to – the Esperanto company, which, by the way, is right across the street from their office.
That is
so great. The Shadow company is right out the window. That was my actual controller toss moment. I'm just like, nope. But, like, that plot about Bison buying and then Shadow buying the slums so they can then introduce crime to lower the property value. You already bought it, so you're like reducing your own property value. It's nonsense.
No, he didn't buy it until he introduced crime, then bought the area, and then is going to torch it all and rebuild it as high cost
housing.
That
would make sense.
That's what it was. Okay. But it didn't come across as clear.
Okay, yeah, not at all. I thought he was already, because the way they say it, they're like, he's already buying up all of this. And then they showed him introducing the crime. Mm-hmm. So they'd already established the fact that he was buying it. So to me, it read, bought it, introduce crime, lower your own value, you're an idiot. Oh, and you're on the front page of Google.
Yeah, so let's talk about
well. So dumb.
That was
speaking of bison, Neil McDonough, bless his heart.
Bless his heart.
They wrote this part awfully. Beyond terrible.
So the bad.
Part,
why get specific with that? There was this movie? Can we say movie?
It's so. When I first watched this movie back in 2009, and I did, I'm sorry to
you
say.
Did.
I was like, okay, they're playing him off as this calm, well-to-do businessman.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But I know he's got all of these psycho powers, which is why he has like no pupils. There's going to be a turn. We've seen a fireball. There's going to be some. We already have some special effects, some visual effects. He's going to, like, Rose is going to die or something, and he's going to go bonkers.
Right.
And we're going to see this psychic, powerful, like, seemingly unkillable warrior.
I would have been into that.
And we did it.
I would have been into that.
Whatsoever.
I would have been.
There was no build.
Nope.
I say this with as much respect to Raul Julia as I can. Despite how comedic in the original Street Fighter film Raul Julia's M. Bison was, more true to the character and made more sense as a person and as a character in this world and would have fit much more than this bison does.
Oh, yeah, I would agree with that completely. Mm-hmm. I mean, in fact, like, this movie's orders of magnitude worse than the Van Damme movie, and that is, like, the lowest bar to clear. I don't know that I've seen a worse movie.
Did you know that they tried to contact Van Damme about making a cameo as Guile?
Shut up.
Oh, they did.
Shut up.
They did.
Yeah? And he just said,
you turned it down.
Nope.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, no, I learned a lesson.
I want to get as far away from that bird as possible.
Wow.
Yeah. And the fact that
Van Damme would have made it.
Would have made it, okay. At least they know.
Yeah,
at least they know.
Yeah, I agree, right? A little wink in at the audience. Yeah. But no, it was so self-serious.
It's like, now who wants to go get some Chinese food? And who wants to come with me?
Yeah.
Just like some really stupid line.
Yeah, I'm on board.
I would have been super down with it. But instead, we get this bison.
Mm-hmm. This dumpster fire
this
of a performance.
Like, it wasn't even... This movie. You take the Street Fighter out of it, it could probably be a relatively okay movie without the trappings of it. No?
No, it's not. I mean,
There's no motive. Character motivation makes no sense.
Because I'm coming at it from a straight...
Plot movement has nothing.
No, I agree.
Not even... As someone who is not in like super into the Street Fighter franchise, it still makes no sense as a movie.
No, I totally agree, right?
Work.
Like, and a lot of times we get on the show and we're like, why did they stick so close to the source material? They really didn't.
They didn't at all.
And it's still terrible, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because like we've said, kind of a formulaic approach. If they could get a little bit lean, there's no need for that for filmic adaptations.
Right.
But that's not the problem here.
You know what? It might have been this, but it wasn't, because we're going to deal with the same director later when we do Doom in a couple weeks. Our next one, but...
Which was the worst movie I'd ever seen before I saw this.
Oh, super excited then.
New love.
Yes.
New love.
So if he hadn't done Doom, I would have thought he was like, you know what? We've got this script. It's this really low-budget martial arts movie about a father and a daughter. And then they go, you know, then Capcom buys the script and goes, where can we plug Street Fighter into this, make a quick buck? That's what it seems like, but then it's not.
Dog, like there's
five. No, it's dog. This movie is pretty dog.
There's five street fights in a 95-minute movie. There's like more gunplay in this movie than there are street fights.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and don't get me started on Nash again.
Yeah, let's dude, and they're all resolved in like 36 seconds. Like Balrog gets wasted so fast. We'll talk about the Vega fight at length. But it's over before it starts. Like, this movie's they should have been called, like, Street Talker or, like, Car Kisser or Street Streeter or, you know, something. Yeah. I don't know, but definitely not. There's not a lot of street fighting going on in this. Or, like, Scroll Receiver. I can name it a million things.
Scroll Receiver. I like that one.
Yeah.
moving on to our.
It's not legendary. Why is it a legend of her children? Sorry.
Our spirit guide, in Gen.
Yep.
So the thing that I thought was a saving grace for this movie was Robin Shu, just because I'm such a big fan from Beverly Hills Ninja, Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
He's one of the only actors to be in three different video game franchise films. Poor soul. So we're going to see him again when we do Annihilation, and we're going to see him again when we do Dead or Alive.
Do you think he was like finally, this is going to be a good one? Like, finally, like, this is the moment. Yeah. Like,
to
all
be honest,
of my life's
redemption.
Work. Yeah, right?
Dude, Mortal Kombat is one to be proud of, because that's at least fun.
100%. I like him way more as Liu Kang, for sure. But it wasn't critically received. It made some money. Like, and we talked about that at length. Like, but do you wonder if, like, this is the one he's like, Mom, I'm in movies. Go see this one. I'm really proud
I
of
think
this film.
Well, he
and
does,
then the rest of it fell apart.
Right?
He does so much better work in China. But this one, I figure it could be one to be his performance, at least, he was proud of. His performance and Michael Clark Duncan's were two of the performances. Say what you will about the lines and the content, but they at least knew what they were doing.
I mean, dude, like, that line, again, but, like, at some point, as an actor, where is it your responsibility? I'm not an actor, but, like, where is it your responsibility to be like, you know, people don't talk that way? Like, when Bison and Balrog are in the car, right, and they're talking, like, Bison's talking at Balrog most of the time, right?
Yeah.
And he's explaining about this whole plan, and they're driving through the rioters or whatever. That scene ends with Balrog going, huh. agreeing, and I'm like, why is that even in the? I don't know. I'm sorry. Like, I came in here. I want to be positive. There's a lot I liked about it.
Well, we'll get to Patrick's positivity corner when we can. But what did you guys think of Gen?
Yeah, I liked him more. For me, he will always be Liu Kang, independent of whatever I see him in. I think it was fine. I thought the training montage was lacking. Not his fault.
No, that was an editing thing.
But they
that
went from like show up to like learning a fireball day two to like go get some like groceries. I get blown up by a rocket launcher.
Yeah,
it was a weird. So like no, by no fault of his.
No.
The character was terrible. It was just all bad.
Yeah.
I wanted to be all right. Like, but whatever. He was fine.
Yeah.
He did all right. Yeah. He did a fine job with it. You know, with the terrible, terrible material.
I believe that guy. Like, he's a, like, obviously he's the true martial artist.
Yeah.
So, so his fight scene was kind of cool. And like, I believe that guy could be a good, you know, master in a master apprentice type relationship, right? Like,
yeah, he definitely had the aura of
he was a master that you would want to learn from.
Totally.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
He was really, his focus on Tai Chi was really cool.
Yeah.
The sand yin yang that he did when making the fireball. That's one of those like cool martial arts movies moments where you're like, okay, I'll let that one go because that was pretty cool.
I was like,
he was talking about that spiritual balance allows you to have the guidance to make the fireball.
Yeah.
Right.
So it made sense, but if any other movie,
if it happened like after like, if everything that had preceded it hadn't been an abject train wreck, that would have been. I would have been like,
yeah, I like that. Cool.
But this is just another like, what are we even doing here? Like, no, just like I just want something. Yeah, so like, I agree with you. That's my kind of thing where I would have been like, all right, nice. But it just no, because it's in this.
Yeah, it was totally another. Well, why not moment?
Yeah, like, totally.
So we have him doing the fireball. What if with his feet he made a yin yang? And I'm sure Robin was like, whatever.
Okay.
Several people said, yeah, do that.
Great idea.
Sounds great.
Do it.
And we get to our most confusing casting choice, which is from the Black Eyed Peas, Taboo.
I can't
playing Vega or Balrog.
Why?
Or Claw for those of you in the fighting games.
Why?
So on the right, we have a big fan of the Street Fighter franchise, born half Native American, half Mexican. On the left, we have a 100% pure blood Spanish pretty boy.
Right. Look, and Vega's a cool character, right?
Like, Vega's an awesome character.
I totally agree, right? And you could have had so much fun with this. This could have been the, we're playing with the audience. Or this could have been, like, they could have had all of their Street Fighter, like, nods in one character and really hit it out of the park. And then you could have almost forgiven the rest of us. But then they went with Taboo.
They went with Vega wears his mask because he feels like he's too beautiful, show the commoners. And his So to have a guy who's just like, nah, I'm ugly and I want to wear a cool mask, or there was no motivation for it.
Nope.
There's no motivation for don't know why he's wearing a mask other than the fact that he's vegan.
It looks uncomfortable. Right. It looks like it cuts off his vision. Like, I just, like, if you can adapt to everything else, maybe make, like, a more reasonable mask for him to wear. I don't know. Like, none of that made sense. And, like, I don't know. He, like, literally, they sent him out. Right? To kill the, like, crime bosses of all of the like, all 12 of those dudes, or however many were in that room, by himself, we're led to believe. And Chun-Li disposes of them in, like, 14 seconds.
Well, if that, right? If that.
But that shows her progression as a fighter and
does
a master.
Oh, well, yeah, because we were led there throughout the course of the movie.
If we had more from both of them, if we had more from both sides, yeah. If we saw more Vega just being a badass asshole,
yeah,
and just beating up people on the street and, like, slicing them to pieces and having them be some sort of a threat, as opposed to cutting down middle-aged businessmen, then maybe he would have been considered some sort of a threat. And if we had a better training montage, then we would have believed a little bit more that Chun-Li could have possibly taken him out in 15 seconds.
Middle-aged businessman killer. Like, I'm still looking for names. I'm still looking for titles.
Still better than Vega.
Yeah, it's
better.
It's not Vega.
No, and, no, it's better than, like, Legend of Chun-Li. I'd like.
So they put him in all black instead of a colorful matador. Did. No roses.
No.
His claws look like three mini machetes, clearly, as opposed to, like, actual claws. They do something that's a subtextual thing to the fans, and here's another one of my fan moments. So in the fight, and it did it to me, it tricked me again, at the same time, there is an electrical box covered in chain link. Yep. And in Vegas Stage in Street Fighter 2, there's a whole chain link fence that he can climb
on.
So you're like, oh, he's going to use it.
Totally.
And but what does he do? He slices right through it to be like, nope, not using any of that crap.
But, you know, that's interesting, too, because, like, Vega's, like, a very nimble character, right? Like, he's all speed, right? Like, and it's like, when you play somebody who knows Vega, you're in for a round or two, because it's a nightmare.
Especially on Vegas Stage.
You're screwed. Mm. And so, like, why they went with this, like, slow, like, that whole fight was the opposite of what I wanted, right? Like, I want some acrobatic shit going down, and, like, no.
Forward rolls, hops, lunges, there's so much. Some of that yodeling
there.
That's
all I want is a yodel.
And Ted was a musician.
You can't say it like you want.
What's that?
You can't have the things you want.
Capcom.
Back of the box.
Actually, that's kind of weird. That's kind of oddly true. Capcom is not that good at that.
Even if they yodeled, like, in this dark, gritty, like, yodel-dee, as he has it on the ground or something, like, you're like, yeah.
This
get behind that.
Then you're like, hey, this dude's weird. Kick his ass.
Yeah, I know. I'd be up.
Anything.
Again. That I would watch. Are you kidding me? Like a super scary thing? They don't know. Mark, I don't know. I don't.
So
let's go from sour to fun.
Okay.
And we have the great Michael Clark Duncan playing Balrog, retired boxer, looking for some cash.
Sure.
And I think that he knocked it out of the park. He was just like, dude, I get to beat up dudes for fun, and I don't have to hold back. That's that Raging Bull. That is M. Bison. Raging Bison, excuse me. It's a joke on Raging Bull. Anyway, I think he had so much fun that he made me go, oh, when's Balrog going to show up again?
Yeah.
He's super excited.
I'll give you that.
Positive?
He was my favorite part of the entire
movie. Was he?
I loved
him. He was laughing to himself, having a ball.
So happy.
I know, totally.
He just wanted to watch the world burn, and he loved every second of it. It was wonderful.
I loved it. Whatever. His fight, too, with Gen was great. I mean, he died a very bad death. Like, I know all of it. Like, it was too short, but I'm with you. Like, and I just loved that whole fight. That he was not Vega, he wasn't speed. He just punches some shit. And, like, that, to me, it totally worked.
He was reckless.
It was, for sure.
He knew what he was signing up for, and he hit it hard.
Right.
So we've been talking a lot about the film story here and there. So let's touch on it a little bit. So the resolution has Chun-Li going after the White Rose, which we find out is Bison's daughter, that he imparted all of his good positive chi, his conscience onto, so that he would have no second thoughts about just being a total douche nozzle.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Except Except why does he even care about his daughter then? And why does he care about
If he doesn't have a conscience, why does he care about his daughter?
He's giving her gifts.
Kill her in cold blood.
Calling her over. Like, I don't understand.
The resolution makes no sense.
I don't get it.
He gets his head twisted almost off in a wonderful, wonderful act of gravity.
How did you feel about that death scene when she kills Bison?
Well, why not?
Yeah, right?
You're
like, yeah.
So here's a girl that we're supposed to be...
I'm getting at, yes.
Here's a woman that we're supposed to be behind, 100%.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
She sees her father taken away and then killed, literally, right in front of her.
Right.
And so her decision, she sees... Well, that might have been Nash's decision of, hey, come with me, let's see what's going on. He's an idiot for bringing the daughter involved
in
this fight scene. And so Chun-Li sees this and goes, you know what? I'm going to kill this guy in front of his daughter.
Totally. How is that not, like, I make eye contact, I go a different path? I mean,
I'm not going to kill him.
Right, that would show an
arc.
That
would be the redemption.
Nope.
No progress.
Remember that time you killed my old man? I'm going to do the same to you.
Tag you back. Tag you back, boo.
Can we talk about the we're talking about specific plot points, and about her father specifically. That scene might have been my favorite whole movie. When Chun-Li's reintroduced to her father after, 17 years, Bison has them both in a room, and he's not, happy. He's like, why? This isn't the life I wanted. What are you doing? You screwed all of this up. Now I'm dead as... I really got to watch my explicit tag. Yeah. I'm super dead because of you, you idiot. That's like, go play the piano. This is what I want. Like, that scene was amazing. Straight up.
Utter, total regret.
Total.
So, how...
He messed it up again. You got me into this. And now you just got me killed. You suck as a child. You suck as an adult. I'm ashamed I had you, Chun-Li.
We're running low on time, so we're going to rush through some of this. But I just I wanted to say that my least favorite part of the movie, and there's a lot of it, but my absolute least favorite part of the movie was the very end when Gen goes, oh, look, a Street Fighter tournament. Why didn't you do that in the first place for a movie?
Totally.
And you could still follow this Interpol plot as a side story.
I agree.
But no, you tease us with the tournament.
Totally.
And Ryu something or other.
They genuinely thought they had something here, right? Like, they says this is a sequel, right? Like, I mean, here's the sequel.
That's
teeing
the post-credit scene.
Right.
Nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, totally.
It's like, no, you know what? Right. No, now I'm home.
Yeah. Like, oh.
Nope.
No.
So let's, before we move on,
yep.
Lowest point. Lowest point of the movie. Like, because controller test moments are ridiculous, but there's also a time you're like, you just deflate. You're just like,
I think it was the spinning star kick. It was so...
That was...
It was just so dumb.
And video
games! It was so dumb, and it was so like... It didn't look realistic. Like, that whole... don't get me wrong. There's so many problems with the whole club scene and her seducing that woman. Like, all of it's bad. But then, what? They run in this circle, and it's, this slow spinning. It's the dumbest thing I have ever seen in a movie that's trying to be serious. Either go all camp and psycho crusher and crazy, or don't. But don't do that in the middle of
it. Don't tell us it's serious and then do one of the silly parts.
Yeah, objectively the dumbest thing you could do.
That was bad. Stay the way they shot it was absurd. I think my lowest point was when Chun-Li and Nash just magically hooked up. Yeah.
Just
was when I was done.
Surprisingly, the critics weren't too fond of this one.
What?
As we mentioned, it has a 6% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I still rented it.
A budget of $50 million.
Yep.
And a gross of 12.9. Terrible. $50 million is easy. That's easy to make back.
Yep.
So that means their word of mouth was awful. Their advertising was awful. And the word about, I remember back in 2009, the word about, Chris Klein is a really, really weird version of Nash in this. Don't see it. And I did. So I actually found a positive. There are three positive reviews on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay, amazing. Lay them on me.
This one's my favorite. This one is from Jeanette Katsoulis from the New York Times. Daddies and daughters lend a wistful emotional core to Street Fighter The Legend of Chun-Li, an otherwise generic martial arts movie with video game credentials.
It's not a martial arts movie. No. I take offense to that.
Those video game credentials will not be able to get you into Anastolska goddamn Papers, Please. So, no.
Yikes. Wow, Don, that was a deep cut.
Now that's
that. Yeah,
now that's a movie I want to see.
Yes.
But yeah, this doesn't... She just,
Yeah, it was good.
You're in that one.
which you can buy now on Steam. Yeah, this one. No, mm-mm. You want to hear the real.
I do, positive one.
More than anything, from Bill Gibran from Pop Matters. This sloppy second attempt at bringing the Street Fighter franchise to the big screen violates one of the primary rules for any PlayStation to motion picture translation: never mess with the mythology. Which is right. The dedicated audience that you're making this movie for, the last thing you want to do is isolate them by changing everything that they know about it.
Right.
Stupid move.
Real dumb.
Terrible move.
It's going up.
You just can't even, I just don't want it on my head anymore. I own three of them, and that's going on the ground.
I had hope for Ryu, damn it. Let's get to some of our fun parts where we can start talking, having some fun.
Yes.
This is favorite line. In a terribly scripted movie like this was, I'm sure this one could be possibly fun. Who doesn't have Charlie on this?
Who doesn't have Charlie?
Yeah. Nash. Who doesn't have Nash on this?
Charlie.
Oh, you have to have Nash on here. Yeah,
Who wants to go first?
Stacey, please.
Stacey.
Okay, so I have several. Shall I start with one of the Nash
Fire
ones?
Fire away.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Just every Nash line could
it
make.
It really was.
I know.
I think my favorite, because it was so, like, borderline nonsensical, was when he was telling the other cop, Maya?
Mm-hmm.
Maya? Yeah. Okay. You don't want a ticket to this dance.
You've never even seen me dance.
Yeah.
What?
Totally. She had it locked and loaded. You're like, really? Oh. That's not like a...
What?
This is not a fun and flirty thing. You're both gross.
No,
stop.
You guys need to stop.
Stop. Just don't.
Cease.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Every Nash line could be on there. I think we touched on it, but this is Charlie explaining Bison. He's explaining how he's bad at his job.
Yeah.
But he says, his name's Bison. I've tracked him through 11 major cities on 4 continents and never come close. Not once. This guy walks through raindrops. Anybody that's against him is either dead or on their way.
Both of you took mine, so
I got a couple more.
No, but there was one.
I
liked Bison's right before he killed Chun-Li's dad.
Yes.
Go ahead, read it off. Go ahead.
I've got Bison. You see, your father has been the milk of my business, but even milk has an expiration date.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Terrible.
I cheered at the screen. It was so good.
Great.
Great in the worst possible way. Okay. We've talked at length about Nash. No. Let's have some fun. No. Let's recast this movie.
Let's do it. This is this is my favorite segment every week.
This is a lot of fun. So today we're going to be, I know this is only a 7-year-old film, but we're going with Chun-Li, Bison, Gen, Balrog, Nash, and Vega for funsies. Because that was everybody's biggest problem.
Totally.
So let's get started with Chun-Li. What does everybody
got? I think this was, here's the thing. I read somewhere that Lucy Liu was approached.
Fortunately,
turned it down, and then it broke my brain. Right, after that, I'm like, it's got to be. I also think if you're going to mix this up, so that I always go through a couple of these. I go Lucy Liu, or I would probably do a Zoe Saldana. Why not?
Yeah, if they went.
Why
half
not?
Already.
They're just mixing it up anyway. Why not? Yeah. I don't even mean just a race. Everybody's a little bit different anyway. So why not? Mm. Zoe Saldana, she's badass. She throw a punch.
There's another character, Elena, that she would be good at too. But yeah, I like both of those. Stacey.
Okay. So I went with kind of the younger, more up and coming to fit the teenage Chun-Li, and one of my choices was Arden Cho.
From?
She's probably best known for Teen Wolf. Right okay. Now.
Oh, so you lost both of us.
Which is rare because one of us knows most.
No.
Okay.
It's not. Worth
I'll take
watching.
It. I'll take a look.
She's also in something that's coming out too, and I forget.
Okay. But
she does the kind of kick-ass
Maggie Q.
Thing.
Okay. Great. Great choice.
Right?
Great choice.
She knows. She's trained in wushu.
Okay.
Which was the first part of this movie.
Right.
From the booth, we've got Ming-Na Wen, who already played Chun-Li in the original Street Fighter. I would like to see your return.
I could see that.
Oh, yes.
Excellent call, booth.
Yeah, love it.
We need her.
So now let's go to Bison. This is the one that I was cackling at maniacally earlier.
I've got to hear Bison.
So one, and because his serious isn't very serious, Russell Crowe.
Okay, that's good because he's physical,
and he's got presence.
Crow's a big dude. I agree.
Javert in Les Miserables.
That's really good.
He was so imposing as a general.
Yeah,
so you put him back in that.
Not
I would
bad.
Like that. But if you want a guy who will go that full crazy, Gerard Butler
is
another one that I put. If you want a guy who wants to go to that Raul Julia, especially seeing all those Gods of Egypt trailers these days, dude, he can do crazy.
Totally. And totally. Way over the top. Yes. Good point. Yeah. Good point.
What do you guys
That's got? A real good one. That's one of your better ones. I've got John Travolta, because he can go like Broken Arrow John Travolta, just like crazy.
Broken Arrow Face Off.
Yes.
Oh, no.
That's who I want is M. Bison. You kidding me? He's scary. Like, you don't know what that guy's going to do.
Dude.
Right?
I'm in for Travolta and Bison.
Yeah, I was pretty excited about it.
That'd be so crazy. I like it.
Originally, I went Howie Long because he's that big physical, but like, no, that doesn't work. Nah. I want the crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want that psycho energy. I'm ripping my child out of my pregnant wife in some spook cave. Which, by the way, like, she's happy to be there. Like, in that scene when he's leading her down the
hand.
She's
totally down.
Totally down.
Yeah, no, she's in it.
Last thing she thinks is the child's getting ripped out of her.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, who do you have
really
as Bison?
I went with Paul Bettany.
Okay.
Oh, that'd be fun.
I could see that.
Yeah.
He could kind of toe that line.
All right.
Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah.
Dr. Dolph Lundgren.
Ivan Drago should be in everything always. He's got
the stature, though. He's got the stature. I could see that.
For sure.
I could
see that. That's good.
Let's go to...
Dude, this is very good.
Gen.
That was easy for me. Yeah. And it was really, again, it broke for me, but that is Jet Li 100%.
I put Jet Li as well because he is also awesome. A proprietor of Wushu.
Is that right?
Yep.
Oh, it just fit. Especially Jet Li now. Like, he's a little bit older, a little bit seasoned, still in incredible shape. Would be a great, like, mentor.
Yeah.
Would be a good mentor.
Like, and he's got the slenderness.
Yeah.
Like, the wiriness.
Totally.
To pull it off.
And he's an actor, too. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, so.
Right. Going off that kind of wiry appearance, Daniel Dae Kim.
Yes, I like that. That's cool.
That's not bad.
I mean, I went straight up for Wushu, but I think that's a good choice, too. Balrog, or Boxer, or M. Bison, whoever you got.
I think you have to cast Mike Tyson. I don't know.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I don't know. At this point, like, and again, like, in this, that we're even like, why not? Like, he's obviously the source material. It would be, but I kind of think that would be fun. Mm-hmm. And I know that's cheating.
Terry Crews from The Booth. That's killer.
Boom, guys, I win.
You win. You're better at all of these.
Yeah.
You're killing it.
In chat, we got a couple people saying The Rock. I think he's not there yet.
I don't think he's quite like that maniacal.
It's too much. I agree. Yeah.
Who did you have?
Good. I actually went in the Vin Diesel direction.
Really?
Vin's not bad.
I think he could pull off.
I think
he could,
too.
I originally went Michael Jai White because he's got the size, but he's a little bit too serious. Also, he's Jax. In the new Mortal Kombat series, but aside from that.
What about Michael B. Jordan? I know it's Creed, a boxer.
Can't get big enough.
No, that was, he's a slender boxer.
Yeah,
he's not that gross.
But again,
Mike Tyson.
We're making
Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson, right? Like at this point, he's just a goof.
If you can't,
he's just retired.
You're there.
Yeah, sure,
he just wants some cash.
I'll play that, whatever.
Yeah, totally. I just want Mike.
Sure.
If you can't get Tyson, definitely go Cruz. That's awesome.
Cruz is good.
All right, who do we have for Nash? Now, personally, I cast this as my ideal form of Nash.
I need to hear
the
it.
The ex-Marine.
Who do you got?
Armie Hammer. Like, not as the one that we... Not
wow.
the Nash that we got, but the All Nash right. that we deserve.
All right. Okay.
The ex-Marine Interpol agent played by Armie Hammer. That's the Nash that I want to see.
All right.
Who do you have?
I went a little more based off of the movie and went with Aiden Turner.
I know him. Yeah. Would he make the same mistakes?
I don't think he would be quite as absurd. I think he could actually play it a little more
reserved. But that dialogue.
Yeah. I mean, they
wrote I'm trying to picture
it. Rewrite the dialogue.
They wrote it to be campy.
I'm trying to picture it.
But then didn't make it campy.
I wrestled with it a little bit.
Yeah.
I went, originally I was like, all right, so we need Keanu for this. But no, Keanu would be all right. Did you really?
I was thinking Keanu.
It was a little.
Looks and just like,
totally, right? But like,
performance alone.
And he doesn't talk much, and Keanu kills those, like, just a few lines roles.
Right.
I also thought Jason Lee.
Jason Lee, really?
Yeah, I thought that would be kind of like gross and like
but he
unwashed.
Exactly the same though.
A little bit, right? Right, but then on the way over here, I told you guys I had an epiphany, and Nash has to be Mark Wahlberg. Has to be.
I was going to say that, but I didn't know if I was going to be really left field.
No, totally. Like, it would be ridiculous.
That'd be really funny.
He could say something gross, like, I love my job. And you're like, yeah, Mark. Yeah, yeah, word to your mother.
You
say hi to your mother for me or whatever.
Hey, ass, say hi to your mother for me.
Yeah.
And now we got
Vega. What you got?
So this
you're
week's,
the Street Fighter
well, so,
expert.
So this week's Oscar Isaac's Participation Award goes to Oscar Isaacs for his role as Vega. Because I see him as this cocksure, just
totally.
Super confident,
yep.
over flamboyant.
Yep.
He could totally play this part.
Sorry, I didn't mean to
interrupt. Go ahead, Alexis.
I was thinking of that new actor for Kingsman.
I forgot the kid.
The kid in Kingsman.
Kid,
he'd be great.
Yeah.
God, she's just so good at this. Killing it.
No, Alexis, we'll have you on one of these days.
I'd love it. Please. I would love it.
What has everybody else got for Vega?
Okay, so I just watched Cicero, and I think Benicio del Toro as an aging.
As an older Vega,
but super flamboyant, like as flamboyant like as you can
totally
get Benicio, over totally over the top,
like collector style.
Yes,
or bigger,
Maybe even a little bit bigger, maybe less colorful, but yeah. for sure. Mm-hmm. He's got so much presence, and he would destroy. He'd be perfect for that 8 minutes he's in the movie or whatever.
His name is Taron Egerton.
Egerton. Okay. And Stacey, who do you got for Vega?
So Oscar Isaacs was one of mine. He ended up being my second choice to Manu Bennett.
Oh, I like him.
He is.
He's good.
A couple of things. He was in Spartacus, and he's in The Arrow right now.
Yeah, okay.
TV shows.
I'll check it out.
Dude, we've got some awesome ones here. Man, I don't know. This was fun. Make sure to leave us your recasting on the comments down below.
Totally.
Let us know who you would cast as a modern recasting of this film. Final thoughts, guys.
Why?
Yeah, why?
We were going to do a watch-along in this.
No, and I would have loved it. I deeply regretted it when I turned it off that I didn't have you guys. Because, like that would have been great, that moment when you paused it. You're like, wait, I'm sorry, what just happened?
Excuse me?
This would have been the ideal movie to do that for. So, like, I'm more convinced than ever that we need to do some watch-alongs.
Maybe we'll go back.
Yeah, this was just, like, I think there's no... I didn't want my money back. I wanted my time. And that is a mark of a very bad movie. I mean, like, I don't know when the dust settles, but it's top five worst movies I've ever seen. It's a train wreck. And only Nash is the part worth saving.
That's funny.
I think he was great.
Stacey?
Oh, I like Balrog, so he was the saving.
Yeah, okay.
The saving grace for me.
Yep.
Otherwise, total trash.
A couple of spotlights in a dark chapter of the Street Fighter franchise. Now, as a franchise as a whole, right before we wrap, would you give it an extra life, or would you game over the Street Fighter franchise? Not necessarily the Chun-Li franchise, but the Street Fighter.
Game over. I think the source material in fighting games, like, there's no narrative. Narrative is always an afterthought in those stupid games anyway. I just kill it. They don't, like, there's other IPs. I'm done with fighting game movies.
I can understand that not as a fan of the franchise, but they've gotten so deep with their lore. And there's a wonderful series called Street Fighter Assassin's Fist that I would recommend anybody check out.
Okay.
Especially if you're a martial arts fan.
Okay.
Very cool group.
All right.
And that makes you go, okay, if the right people do it and care about it. So I'd say Extra Life. What would you say, Stacey?
I got to go with Game Over.
It did not work.
I'm sorry.
Son of a biscuit.
So bad. Right.
So that's a 2-1. No. The show gives the Street Fighter franchise.
The table. I'm telling you.
No, that's fine. The show gives.
Can't go through with that again.
I'm just saying, here for everybody, the show gives the Street Fighter franchise a Game Over, much to my dismay. So with that, we're going to let you know our next show. Alexis in the booth gives it an extra life, so we tied.
All right,
maybe we'll watch.
Tie.
So Street Fighter 2, the animated movie, we'll watch in the future. But I want to do a couple more box office films before we do that.
Amen.
Speaking of that, next episode, 2 weeks from tonight, we are going to be covering Far Cry from Uwe Boll to celebrate the release of a much better product. Far Cry Primal.
Can it be worse?
Yes.
Tune in 2 weeks
to
find out.
Can.
I know. That's what I'm terrified about.
Sure about that? Because that was
low bar.
Low.
I know. Dude, we haven't even touched Uwe Boll yet.
I can't wait. Oh, I know.
We haven't touched Uwe Boll yet. It's going to be a fun time.
I just want to say I'm glad I'm in this with you guys.
Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
So speaking of being in with us, tell the folks at home what you're up to and where they can find you.
You can find me at Pete of the D is on Twitter. I host a video game podcast on iTunes. It's called Pixel by Pixel.
Very good.
I'm usually on Twitter at Ye Olde Nerd or Nerds Doing Stuff, getting into con season, so starting to do a lot of costuming stuff.
Cool.
Definitely check out the website, nerdsdoingstuff.com, because your cosplay stuff is off the chart. But speaking of, you guys have done, you and your husband do a Ruby cosplay.
We do.
And speaking of Ruby, make sure to watch the Ruby After Show. We did one last week. We had Gray Haddock and Jen Brown on. It was a lovely time. Check it out, and the finale is going to be next weekend, and the last show is going to be that week too. If you're getting Street Fighter V this week, let me know, because I want to play it a lot and I want people to play with, because the computer sucks. Thank you for joining us. Follow me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. Today the B stands for Balrog. So
yes.
Make sure leave comments here. Find us on iTunes. Follow everybody on Twitter. Follow the Popcorn Talk on Twitter, and we'll see you next time. Thank you for joining us.
Hadouken.
Producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network. We would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
Views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.